Welcome, 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 folks, to Waves on the Shore with Evan and Jaren, the census greatest podcast of all time. Thanks for joining us today as we discuss all the latest in country music.
We're not biased, we just don't like bad music.
Well, well, well. Would you believe it? It's myself.
Wait, 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 wait. Okay, now keep going.
That did not come through the Discord audio, but I know it did for your mic, so. Would you believe it? It's your favorite podcast co-host, Evan and Jaren. Back again with another...
That's right.
...normal episode. What are we on, 46? Something like that. Yeah.
I think that's a little too high. I think this is episode 44.
44, I jumped the gun.
But I could be wrong. And now I'm going to check. I feel like this is a daily thing where we don't know what episode. It is 44. I was right. I probably knew that because I edit. So yeah.
You're more in tune with the numbers. But we're back for episode 44. And we got, like, the thing is, it's a smaller agenda, but there's more to it. We got Luke Combs, obviously, massive album. And then the standard, what are we listening to? Who the frick? Not a lot of introduction needed. Luke Combs just dropped his fourth major label album, Getting Old. It is 18 songs. It is a little over an hour long. It is the follow-up to Growing Up last year, which completes the Growing Up and Getting Old saga, completing it at 30 tracks. And
Well, hold on. You said the word saga you said saga.
You did not interrupt my, like, Morgan Freeman-esque spiel to say that.
Morgan Freeman-esque, okay. All right, buddy. Oh, you're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
But I am absolutely that guy, to the utmost extent.
Okay, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Continue.
Look, the album's out, Getting Old. Personally, I think it's really freaking good. But do you want to... Do you want to lead the dance? Want to go back and forth? Like, how should we run this down?
We can tango. You know, it takes two to tango. It takes two to two-step.
Maybe that should be the new podcast version of that saying. Not that we say it much, but it does take two to two-step. Instead of two to tango. Okay.
Well, no, but I said two to... That's a Midland. I thought you would have... That's a Midland lyric.
I know.
Two to two-step.
I know.
The song. Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood
sorry,
you,
Mark. And I won't thought shine you on your own song.
Yeah, because remember we're having Midland on the podcast,
right?
That's a day. Well, that's a bit of a throwback. We talked about that a long time ago. What was that? Yeah, I like misunderstood you, and I thought you misunderstood me. But there was really no misunderstanding. Yeah.
Because we're just brilliant.
So I guess, yeah. I also think this is a really good album.
Would I go as far to say his best?
I was going to wait to say that. But since you said it, I'm going to agree with you.
I think this is his best of the
four. This is his best album. It just is. Like, for me, well, let's just rank them now because we're doing it.
So we got this one's for you. What you see ain't, or what you see is what you get. Growing up and getting old. So this is tough.
I would say first off, let's just say that, like, if there's a deluxe version, we're talking about, like, all of the songs from that era. So we'd be talking about the deluxe version. So like the first... I would say that his first one is probably his worst one. Not that it's a bad album. I think that it's just the most uninspired basic one, I guess.
I don't know.
It's the most radio friendly.
I don't know.
I'm not saying that it. I'm saying that it's uninspired in the context of the rest of his discography. Not like.
Maybe. Not that it's. Then I don't know. I think this album has a lot of bangers that, like. Even some, like, deep cuts that I still go back to a lot. Like, Honky Tonk Highway, that's a jam. or like be careful okay, with actually, porn stuff.
There's you know what? I gotta come clean.
And
I gotta come clean.
Factor in
how I've not listened to this entire album because there are songs that I've heard from it that I didn't like, and so I was like, I'm not. I don't want to listen to the whole album.
Just make
sure
you listen to Honky Tonk Highway.
Okay.
I also think there should be like, we should take into account or factor in just how iconic this era was. Like, this is what blew Luke up back in the day.
That's true. No. I think a lot of people are like, Hurricane. This one's for you is so good because it's away. All nostalgia.
When it but rains, I don't even like, pours.
I don't even like One Number Away. And I think Hurricanes, I think Hurricanes just all right.
I think Hurricanes like, just all right.
I do.
I think One Number Away is a friggin' classic.
So I know why people really, I can under, okay, the reason I like that song is because I don't like the line where he goes, are you stuck at a red light with a Marlboro light on your lips, and I don't like cigarettes, so every time I hear that song I picture a really hot chick smoking a cigarette and I immediately get like turned off, and so I hate that song.
He references John Mayer. How could you not like
I don't like that song.
Lost in some air. Wow. Look, I think that's one of my favorites of his. There is an acoustic,
the thing is, it's not a bad song, I just don't like it.
There's an acoustic this is a side note, there's an acoustic performance of One Number Away. I don't know if it's from like a songwriting round or whatever, but it's just him and his two of his bandmates on guitar, and their harmonies are so freaking good. If you want a random Luke Combs acoustic video to watch, find the One Number Away acoustic with him and two buddies. They're in like a red room sitting on black stools. It's awesome.
All right. I will say that I absolutely adore When It Rains, It Pours. I think that's the best song on the album. It's just so it's not only fun, but it's actually just, like, good. Mm-hmm. Like, and well-made. And then Beautiful Crazy is... That's an easy banger. You know? It was kind of around when... I feel like that song was popular around the same time that Tequila by Dan and Shay was popular.
Yep, it was that era.
Very similar. It was the boy... It was Luke's... That was probably Luke's furthest extent into the boyfriend country.
But it went really well, if you ask me.
But he did it well. Also, I do like She Got the Best of Me. There's actually a lot of hits on this album, now that I'm realizing.
And
it.
Even beyond the hits, I think there's a lot of great album cuts people just don't know because they're so overshadowed by the hits. I will not let... we can do separate rankings, but this is not my bottom.
Oh, sure.
This
is still my bottom.
I'm going to throw a bone out there and say Growing Up might be the bottom for me.
Actually... Now that we've, I know I just said that this was my, that this one's for you is my bottom.
You haven't even listened all the way through, so I'm fine if you put it at the bottom.
Well, no, but I'm not going, maybe I should put, I don't even know, maybe I should disqualify it for me, because I haven't, but I will say this, now that I'm looking at these songs, I do really like She Got the Best of Me, I like Beautiful Crazy, I like When It Rains, It Pours, Hurricane's okay, I'm not big on One Number Away, but... Just from those songs alone, to me, that's a better album than... I just don't really like Growing Up very much.
No, me neither. Like, I'm looking at the track list to Growing Up. Doing This is pretty good, all right? The Kind of Love We Make, that's a pretty great song. Tomorrow Me, that's a great song. That's the best song.
I don't even remember that one.
Really? That's like, the best song, in my opinion. But it's just like, I think it's peak... Basically,
I think Going Gone is the best song on that album.
I don't know. I was never huge on that one, even though I see the appeal.
There's an acoustic version of it that's better than the
when he's in
the
stadium. It's nice. I think this album to me was just a big lull. Like, it was a big lull period for Luke, where it's just like I listened to it and I was like, "Yep, that is exactly what I thought we were gonna get." So I don't know. Like,
let's say this one is at 4 and this one's for you is at 3.
We can do different rankings.
I think our ranking is the same though.
I'm putting Growing Up at the bottom.
I am too.
Now,
or maybe I'll tie it with This One's for You. That's what I'll do.
I just
do like this newest album. I think I just do like it more than What You See Ain't Always What You Get.
I'm gonna put this one to you two at 3. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna interrupt to say before we get ahead, have them tied at 3. I'm gonna go Growing Up 4th. I'm gonna put This One's for You at 3, even though
okay.
you know, three out of four doesn't seem good, but I still think it's a great album.
Right.
It's between What You See Is What You Get and Getting Old. So sorry, continue. I just wanted to get
level. Well, I really enjoy What You See Is What You Get. I think, okay, if I'm being real with myself, currently, I probably like What You See Ain't Always What You Get a little bit more, but I think with time, I think Growing Up will be my favorite one.
That's the thing. One thing to consider is, like, we've had Getting Old for, what, 2 weeks now? Not even?
Yeah.
But
I'm looking at, like, the...
3-4 years.
I'm looking at the track list for What You See Ain't Always What You Get, and I, like, there's Beer Never Broke My Heart, Refrigerator Door, Even Though I'm Leaving, Lovin' On You, Moon Over Mexico, One Too Many. I like that. Those first six... All those first six tracks, all of those songs are amazing.
Now,
I really like Dear Today.
So here's what I would pitch.
Except for the production's a little weird.
Yeah, so it's tough because, again, I feel like it is recency bias. I'll put Getting Old at number one. I think it very easily could climb there, though, because What You See Ain't Always What You Get does have songs like Reasons, like All Over Again, and it has like My Kind of Folk and songs that I think are just like, you know, okay, that was a very painfully basic Luke Combs song. But I think songs like Reasons, the production on Dear Today, All Over Again, these are, I don't know if I want to say misses or skips, but I think they're substantially lower than Getting Old ever gets.
Sure.
I don't think Getting Old hits those lows. And I see how many songs on this Getting Old album that I already know are going to be iconic for myself. Maybe they'll be hits, maybe they won't. But as for like when I look at This One's For You and I see Honky Tonk Highway, I think that's a classic. That's iconic for me. And when I look at the Getting Old track list, I can see Growing Up and Getting Old. That's, I know. Back 40 Back, I just know. See Me Now. Uh-huh. Joe, Fast Car, Tattoo on a Sunburn, Fox in the Hen House. Like,
yep.
Even the part at the end, oh, what a good... Like, there's a lot to be reckoned with on this new album.
Okay, so I have a proposal. After we finish ranking these, it's an informal ranking.
Yeah.
We should also rank his covers real quick.
Yeah. There's never been a bigger disparity consistently between the quality of the music and the presentation. Like, yes, no artist has that disparity.
Yeah, frustratingly so. I think that objectively Luke Combs'
catalog.
I don't think Luke Combs has ever had an objectively good album cover. Like, actually. Like,
I have no choice but to agree.
Yeah.
Well,
no. I'll expand.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm gonna expand upon that take because there's amazing things about some of them.
And then there's, like, give it to the original. What You See Is What You Get. That is the one Luke Combs cover I enjoy. This one's for you. That whole stained glass effect. It looks like an old church. But then it's just Luke sitting there, and I'm in, like, a gas station or something, and I can't get behind it. What You Say Ain't Always What You Get. I just don't like the new album cover. I like the nostalgia of the OG. But the OG, What You See Is What You Get, with the red flannel, the dark blue letters. I kind of mess with that. Maybe it's nostalgia. It probably is. It definitely is. But
I didn't like it when it was red and black. I didn't like it when it was blue and black. It's just not. I'm sorry.
And then we get into the Growing Up and Getting Old era where he's just got his face slapped over a nice piece of art.
That's the most frustrating thing about growing up and getting old is that you have these beautifully drawn, like I know he commissioned this, like, he, like, workshopped it. He was like, I want it to kind of look like this, and then somebody drew it and painted it, and then he slapped his face on it, like,
not a drawing though.
Yeah, like he's like, bro.
Like, imagine what? if they did Luke in the style of the rest of the picture, and maybe didn't have it just like half of his face, but just put Luke in the image. It'd be like one of those goated Flatland Cavalry covers. Like, it would have been friggin' sick.
What if he was a character in the painting instead of just
would have been sweet, but no.
Been so good.
And the sugar on top is the fact that they don't even line up in his catalog.
Yeah.
Like, you went backwards, G.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so I don't... I do think that getting old and growing up are the best ones, even though, even with the face.
I'm going to, okay, so
what you see is what you get is definitely my least favorite one.
Here's
also, hold on. He's got this weird thing. I've just noticed this. So this one's for you, and then this one's for you, Deluxe.
You just noticed has him that?
Well, it's inverted. I didn't just notice that it was inverted, but he does the same thing on his next. And then with the other one, he has, like, it's not literally inverted, but, like, he has a smile on growing up and get. He has a smirk on growing
Bro
up.
Likes
and
the
then
flip flap.
And then on getting. The flip flap. On getting old, he has, like, not a frown, but he's just kind of, like, blankly
staring.
He's like,
oh, I'm a senior citizen now. I'm going to go.
I just don't understand what Luke is doing, but not good.
I don't care if it's nostalgia. What you see is what you get. Original,
that's a hot take.
Not deluxe. The original. I'm gonna slap at number one. All right. Between growing up and getting old, I think I prefer the getting old. So I'm gonna put that number two. Then we're gonna go growing up. Then we're gonna go this one's for you. Because it just looks like a friggin' car mechanic tattoo kind of thing, and I don't like it.
Sure. Yeah, screw those car mechanics.
I hate car mechanics.
Losers.
But fix my car.
If you're a car mechanic and you're listening to this podcast, frick off,
literally,
bro.
My brother. Yeah, frick you, brother. Stupid, stupid career.
Brother.
Really.
But
the actual music. Okay, so we've crapped on Luke a bit, but the actual music of Getting Old.
The actual music is usually pretty decent.
Do you have a favorite? Like one song stand out?
Yeah, it's probably Where the Wild Things Are.
Really? Okay.
That song is
that's
just
not a bad pick at all.
It's really good, I think. And it seems like a lot of other people online also feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoy Fast Car, but I just know that it's a cover. And to me, like, he does a really good job, and I really like it. But it doesn't, it's not like a...
It's hard to put up against his other songs when it's a cover versus original.
Yeah, and it's like a really famous song, too, that he's covering. I also really enjoy Tattoo on a Sunburn. I think it's a lot of fun.
I do.
I love my favorite thing about this album is that I feel like there's just, it feels like there's space for like instruments to just kind of do their thing.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And like, that's why Back 40 Back sounds so good. And like,
not only that though, like, but I think it says, I think this is the most diverse he goes lyrically. Like, I think these are his most interesting, engaging ideas and executed really well. Like,
sure.
I don't know. I think it's all around, again, maybe recency bias, but all around his best album, if not number two. I think Back 40 Back is probably my favorite.
It's up
that.
There. Probably
I just
top
love
three.
That song so much. It's so pretty, and the lyrics.
It's
are
really
so good.
The
See Me Now might not have the cleverest catch. I don't know how big a fan I am of, like, if I could see you, see me now. It kind of feels like you're just trying to add another angle instead of just saying, I wish you could see me now. It's like, I don't know if it's not, but.
But I get it, because he wants to watch the reaction. Like, he doesn't.
Fair.
He's not just saying that I wish you could see me. He wants to see them see him. Like, he wants to
fair,
see.
Fair. I'll take.
He wants to. He. Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I just love the groove of that song. And like the one line in the chorus, when he says they be trashing the price of gas and politicians, the groove on that line, like the way the beat's just going and the way he kind of runs with it and the weird rhythm he finds, I friggin' love how that song flows.
Oh, I also think Still is a bit of a sleeper, I think.
Yep.
Like in turn, I think it's just like that chorus. He just Luke's belting the word steel. I can't talk. Still. Belting the world. Word! I hate my life. Belting
Thanks
the
for
word.
Tuning in.
Still. I just think it's. I really like the chorus. Yeah. It reminds me. There was a moment. Oh, crap. What song was it? There was a moment where I was like, this sounds like an old Josh Turner song. And I was like, it sounds
definitely
so good.
It doesn't sound like a new Josh Turner song. Ah.
Yeah. 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 It's because he doesn't have any new ones.
Ah.
Way to go, Evan.
Are we on 6 years?
Thanks for that.
Six?
Stop. Stop.
That's crazy.
Gonna make me cry.
Dude, just so you know, there's kids in like grade one or two that have never lived to see a Josh Turner release day.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, that's actually crazy though, because like
yesterday. I hate you.
No,
that's crazy.
Because I was driving home yesterday and I passed a school and they were all out during recess and whatever. I was coming home from work. And I was just there like, you know, it's like a range. And I saw like super young kids. And I thought to myself, I was like, dang, there might be COVID children in the public schools now. Or maybe they'll start in the fall.
Not yet.
They'll start in the fall.
They would, if a kid was born during COVID, they'd only be 3 right now.
Yeah, but in Canada, you start. So...
How young do you start?
We start a year younger than you. So, I don't know the exact... But it's not
well,
like
usually kindergartners are like... 6, I think.
Oh, yeah, no. They're like 4 or 3 for us. So, because I remember when my buddy...
Kids are going into kindergarten 3 years old?
Yeah, like I had a friend who moved to the States and he like went down a grade because like we start younger. So, at least in Canada... I think in September, it's weird thinking that in four or five months, there will be people like living sentient creatures in the public schools that were born during the pandemic. That's kind of crazy.
Why is that weird to you?
What?
Why is that weird to you?
Because it's like, I don't feel like... Like it
doesn't feel like it's been that
adds
long.
Adds up, but it doesn't feel like it. Like, dude, people born in 2018 are turning 5 this year. That's nuts. Like, they're like potty trained and everything.
Yeah, people born in 2004 are like out here living their life. It's wild.
I know.
Imagine that.
But like, think about it for a minute, right? Like, they're being born like people who are 5 years old. There are people born after like Morgan Wallen's first album that are.
You could say this about anything.
What?
You could literally say this about anything.
But I'm just saying, my mind is being sent for a little bit of a whirl because I don't think human beings. It's like after I was born, I'm struggling to accept the fact that people keep being born. Like there were being born in 2023. People's birth certificates will say 2023, bro.
Evan,
how crazy that is.
There were kids born after Harambe died, you know?
I feel
like
it just stopped in 2009. Like, I feel like if you're born in the 2010s or later, you're just invalid. There's teenagers born in the 2010s. This is my problem.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the same thing. Like, there's always like...
how did we get here?
Brother, I don't even know. I don't even know.
But there's a... But on the... There's... I forget what it was. I think it might have been See Me Now, actually. Like, sonically, it just reminds me kind of like an old Josh Turner song.
Probably.
And by old, I mean, like, his first couple albums, not his
not
last
like
one,
his recent it, one.
Well, his last. What I mean by last one, I mean his like actual album, not his cover album or his worship album or his Christmas album.
I knew.
Deep South is a bit more boyfriend pop country kind of. It's still not like the worst offender, but it's very obviously
guilty
like
as charged.
Yeah, it's very obviously pandering a little bit, and I feel like Joshness needs to leave his label, because I feel like he's still on the same label, and I think he had a bad experience after making that album, because they were like, you need more hits, and I feel like Hometown Girl was that hit, but I don't think he really even likes that song. And so here we are with no new Josh Turner
music.
It's
crazy. It's been over 6 years, bro. March 10th, 2017.
I hate you, man. It has been over 6 years. I can still remember buying his newest album in Walmart.
The kids in school can't.
I hate you. The kiddos in school. But back to the Luke Combs album. Yeah. Joe's really good. You already said that. I like Take You With Me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of this, like, father-son kind of thing going on there. I really like Love You Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that was a single, right? Or a pre-release.
I think it was a single. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I really enjoy that one. When it first came out, I was kind of like, yeah, this is all right. But
it's grown.
I've warmed up to it a lot. Five Leaf Clover seems to be one that a lot of people like. I enjoy it, but not as much as other people seem to be.
I really like that one. So, Fox in the Hen House, though. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because that song is nuts.
No.
So, I don't care what you say. It very much reminds me of something, but I haven't been able to pin what. It's been on the tip of my tongue for like a week. I was like, that reminds me of, maybe it's early Zac Brown. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. This just feels like one. Or maybe I'm not sonically, but like, conceptually, kind of gives me almost like Brad Paisley vibes, in the sense that it's just so random but yet so perfect. Like, there's a fox in the hen house, so he's gonna go shoot the fox. That's it. Like, how you made a whole song about that and made it a belter, I don't know, but it's like, it gives me Brad Paisley vibes in that way. I think of something like Mr. Policeman, where it's like, bros,
I have one of those. No, I things. Multiple times on this album was like, oh, that kind of sounds like Brad Paisley. There's guitar on what song is
this
it?
Song
there's
guitar.
There's guitar in See Me Now, actually, I think it is. Or maybe it's Still. That I was kind of like, oh, that sounds kind of like a. It just has feels a Brad Paisley ish, which is a good thing.
Not anymore.
I wish Brad Paisley still sounded Brad Paisley-ish. He does in concert, but that's because he doesn't play any of his bad songs.
Is he going to bring out Zelensky for his next show? Guest appearance.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No, I don't know. I really enjoy this album. If I'm being honest, I was surprised, because after growing up, I was like, whatever, we're getting another Luke Combs album.
I was in the same boat. When this album was coming out, I was like, right, like, here we go again. I was kind of like, I wasn't writing.
And the cover didn't do it any favors.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't writing him off, but I was kind of, in the back of my mind, I was knowing, like, man, if this flops, like, you know, that's not it for Luke Combs. But for me, maybe, like, you know, how much more am I willing to? And then this, when I listened all the way through, now I will say, from the pre-releases, I had more faith. Like, growing up and getting old, I loved Joe. I loved Love You Anyway, grew on me. So I had hope going into it, but like the relief of when I listened through it and was like, okay, yeah, this is like absolutely stellar. Very refreshing. I, one more debate regarding Luke Combs. Not even that these are necessarily comparable items, but just because I feel like you have to. All right, who dropped the better album, Morgan or Luke?
Okay, so this is, you want to hear my my take on this? Because I've thought about this. All right.
You're also on all right, a smart podcast, guy. So talking. Preferred.
So, what is that? I think objectively, Luke has released a better album. Just because it's a little bit more concise. I think the bar of quality is higher. I think that Morgan's album is swollen.
That's a good word, actually.
It's got too much stuff in it that I don't care about.
Yeah.
And I also think that some of Luke's songs are just... The nice thing about Luke's album is that I feel like there's a slightly more consistent sound and production quality throughout. You have Morgan's album, you've got so many songs, and you've got some like country trap stuff, and then you've got some very traditional country stuff going on, and it's just a little bit all over the place. I just think that this is the best album of the year so far.
Ooh.
I mean, it doesn't have a lot of competition because it's only April, but like,
I still think I'm holding Ernest above this. I do. However.
Yeah, actually, I think I'll take Luke.
I would not hesitate to put this right up there. I agree. I think Luke won this time. Decisively? Maybe.
Yeah, a bunch of people are going to be like, "You're bringing Morgan better."
Morgan's cuter. Shut up. Shut up.
His forearm hair is not going to pull me in. Have I told you about that?
Yeah, but what about Luke's chest hair?
Well, he's probably got hair everywhere, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Think of the inner thigh hair.
His wife. Oh, boy.
Think of the forest that must be on Luke's back.
Nicole got jungle fever, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Anywho.
Have I told you about the forearm hair joke?
Yeah.
I was like in the comments section of like when he covered Cover Me Up on Taste of Country like 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And this one chick was like, "Oh my god, his arm hair is so hot." And a bunch of dudes in the comment section are like, "What the hell?"
Women are crazy nowadays.
Yep. Oh, man.
I have another question, though, Jaren.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't guess what I'm going to ask. There's no way you know.
Yes, Evan. Your mom is in my DMs.
No, my mom cannot operate DMs. What are you listening to, brethren?
That's a good question. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm not like super, super well prepared for this.
I'm over because I've been, there's too many things I want to choose from.
I've been kind of just like listening to a lot of things. Also, for the past week, I've just been listening to like road trip playlists because I was in Florida for a week on a mission trip, so I haven't like really been like listening to music like on my own a lot. But I did listen to a little bit of Josiah and the Bonnevilles' first album.
Yeah.
And there's a song called Back to Tennessee on that album. The album's called On Trial. And Back to Tennessee is really pretty. I like it a lot. It has a bit of a different... His older music is a bit of a different vibe. He sings in like a slightly different style, almost in like a more... He like leans less into his country accent on his earlier stuff, and it's more like indie, I guess. It's more like moody, almost like... I don't know what to compare it to. It's like moody 2000s acoustic. almost like that. And his voice is different in the same way that, like, Coulter Wall's earlier stuff, he, like, is, like, super deep, and then he starts to, like, not, like, he starts to kind of sing normally on his later stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, do we need a new Coulter album this year, Heike?
We're getting a new one, or you think we should get a new one?
You know, coming up on 3 years, almost.
Really? Yeah. Has it really been almost 3 years?
August 2020 was Western Swing and Waltzes.
Wow. I have it. I own his first two albums.
Well, aren't you special?
Yeah, I'm a pretty cool guy. But yeah, but it's Back to Tennessee is the big one. That first track on the album On Trial is just really pretty, and I speculate that he wrote it. I know from following him online that he did a lot of traveling when he graduated from high school, and like going from job to job, traveling the world, and like just living in different countries and stuff like that. And he's talked about how he kind of came to a point where he just started to miss home. And I think he probably wrote this song while he was in, like, Europe or something like that. And he's just reminiscing on
going back
the Tennessee, the lands of Tennessee. I love the production. It's not complicated. There's, like, a shaker, a tambourine, piano, light guitar, and there's some, like, backing vocals. It's just really pretty.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything big to bring for this. The only other thing that I might briefly recommend is that I know that... I haven't listened to the whole thing, but Wilder Woods released a new album just this past Friday, I believe. Or maybe it was... Actually, no, it was the Friday before. Wilder Woods is just the lead singer of Need to Breathe solo, like, thing. Solo stuff. And he released an album Need called Fever and Sky, because I've talked about them before.
Probably, yeah.
They make Christian rock music, or Christian adjacent music. It's not always blatantly Christian. Sometimes
definitely.
It is.
Rivers in the Wasteland is one you recommended.
Rivers in the Wasteland is amazing. I love that album. But I've listened to like half of his album, Fever and Sky. It's pretty good. The second track, Patience, is really good, so I would also maybe look into that if you're into that kind of scene. Yeah. Evan, what are you listening to, though, bro?
Well, it's crazy that you asked that. I've been listening to a few things, right? You know, been bouncing around, been getting back into my my Beach Boy vibe now that it's getting slightly warmer out. Was at the beach yesterday. It was 14 degrees Celsius.
What temperature was it today for you?
6. Which is like 42. But yesterday it was like 58. Something around there. It was nice. So we were at the beach playing spikeball. So I've been listening to a lot of beach music. I've been getting into that. There's two albums, though, that I've been listening to mostly. The first one is one that a friend recommended to me. And this friend I feel bad for because she always tries to recommend me music. And I've either heard it or it sucks. And it's really funny because she's always like, try this one. And I'm like, I know that inside out already. She's like, dang it, I thought you wouldn't know that one. I'm like, try again. And then she'll be like, oh, you should try this one. And I'll be like, that was some straight buns. Like, you think I'm ever... But she sent me this song. She's like, this is my new favorite album of this year. I think you'll like this song. And the song she sent me was called Cool About It. It is by a group named Boy Genius, who I had never heard of.
I've heard of that.
They've dropped a self-titled EP in 2018 or 2016, and now they just dropped their first album called The Record, just this past week or 2 weeks ago. This past week. Boy Genius is a supergroup made of Julian Baker, Lucy Dacus, I'm not sure. I don't know who they are. The main front runner is Phoebe Bridgers. And this is
what was the name again?
Boy Genius. All one word.
I think I have heard of it because my buddy Joe loves Phoebe Bridgers and
rightfully so. And he
was like, this is a band that Phoebe Bridgers is in, but it's not Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah,
but
it's Phoebe a trio Bridgers. And yeah. It's awesome, man. Like, their harmonies are friggin' beautiful. It's alternative, so they have, like, some indie rock stuff, but there's several moments, like the song my friend sent me, Cool About It, which are really acoustic. I can't stress how pretty that song is. Cool About It by Boy Genius. Please give it a listen. It is... I listened to it, and I just texted her back. I was like, dang, you finally have sent me some absolute heat here.
We're engaged now.
No.
No offense. Oh my goodness, he said no.
Revolution Zero is also really good. Emily, I'm Sorry is
so that was a murder.
It With You Without Them is like a little a cappella harmony minute and a half opener about family roots, and it's so cool. That's one of the things I'm listening to. The other one I'm listening to is The Second Gleam by the Avett Brothers, which is a rock album from 2008. You might be wondering.
Grady loves the Avett Brothers.
Yeah. So you might be wondering, Evan, why are you listening to the Avett Brothers? Frankly, I've only known like two songs just from people like showing me them, or I know Grady's talked about them before. I just knew who they were. One of the songs that always stood out to me was the second song from this album called Murder in the City. It's this super cool friggin' song saying, like, just this hypothetical, like, hey, if I get murdered in the city, like, I'm gonna move to the city now, I'm leaving behind my home, if I get murdered, here's what's gonna happen. And he's like, don't go seeking revenge, like, me being dead's enough, you don't need to go get in jail and ruin your life too. And it's just, like, instructions on, like, give this letter to this person. It's really cool, and it stood out. Why did this song come back to the forefront of my listening? Because I was watching Outer Banks again, and because season 2 sucked buns, like the most buns, and I was just like, maybe this show is as dead as everyone says it is.
I love that you don't watch anything except for the things that I tell you and Outer Banks.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Because Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Outer Banks were things that I watched in COVID because they were popping off and I had nothing better to do. So I watched season 1 of Outer Banks and I was like, actually, hype. Then season 2 came around and I was like, actually, that was really dead. Season 3 came around and I was like, prove me wrong, and holy heck, it proved me wrong. I think it was the best season of the three. However, the closing scene, spoiler alert if you're not done Outer Banks, skip ahead like 2 minutes here. The closing.
I can't skip ahead, Evan.
Yes, they can. It's a friggin' podcast.
No, I can't. I can't. Oh,
well, you don't care.
I'm just kidding.
And if you do, too bad. Cover your ears, Jaren. The closing scene after. He's wearing earbuds. Like, a lot of important people just died. Sarah's dad died. John's dad died, right? And they're having this, like, burial for them before they go back to their home in Carolina.
Dang, this is so soap opera-y. I didn't even realize.
They're stranded in a jungle in Colombia. And so they bury them there, and they have, like, little Polaroids that they put beside these little crosses they made out of twigs. And within the context of the season, it was friggin' awesome. I heard Murder in the City start playing. And I was like, yo, that is the most perfect song ever. Like, aesthetically, it fits. And lyrically, the whole season is they, like, everyone's ditching their home to go after this, like, treasure, whatever. Everyone's, like, leaving everything behind to go after this. And a bunch of them die. And it's kind of, the whole point of Murder in the City is I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to the city if I die. So when that started playing, I was just like, bravo. Whoever made the soundtrack, give them a raise. And so anyways, then it prompted me to go back to listen to The Second Gleam more. And it's just a seven song album, because the eighth is an electric version of The Greatest Sum, which there's an acoustic version earlier in the album. Mm-hmm. But it's just banger on banger. Tear Down the House, Murder in the City. Belladonna is so pretty. Black and Blue. Also, what's up with my Apple Music tripping again? Like, I know it always is, but like...
Okay, I was getting super confused for a second. So I'm looking at the Avett Brothers discography, and I saw that they had the second Gleam and the third Gleam, but I couldn't find the first Gleam. And it's because I had to go to EPs, because it's an EP, and the other two are technically albums. Ah. So the first Gleam is an EP from 2006. And then the second Gleam is from 2008, and it's an album. And then the third Gleam is from 2020, and that's an album. Sorry. Huh. I just thought that was interesting.
Man, the cover on the original Gleam sucks.
It's just red, right?
Yeah, but the colors don't work.
Yeah, it kind of hurts your face.
Yeah. But, yeah, so when I heard that in Outer Banks, I was like, yes, sir. Sarah Cameron is still within my reach.
Is she?
To this day.
Is she?
To this very really? Day.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep.
How's that going to happen?
If Sarah Cameron, realistically.
Yeah, how's... If Sarah Cameron... Wouldn't you like to know, Weather Boy?
Yeah, so...
Have you seen that video?
Yeah. If I'm playing spike ball on the beach, right? If Sarah Cameron watches the elegance in which I can serve, and then I'm like diving through the sand, making these crazy plays and stuff.
Right, right. Riz her up.
She has no choice. I have that spike ball riz. I have that tropical sports riz.
Oh, you think you could out spike ball me, Evan?
Jaren,
you think you could
out spike ball? Respectfully.
I've been playing spike ball in my youth group for years. Jared, for years,
respectfully,
Evan. For years.
Excavate a grave. Stomp you into it.
All right. Okay.
And bury it with, like, your own tears. Okay?
Okay.
I would own you in spike ball.
All right.
You watch
seems
like
somebody's
a
little. Seems like somebody's a little insecure about this.
No, I'm just very prideful. It's like the one thing I'm actually good at. Spike ball.
I played a lot of spike ball at the end, like towards the end of high school, and I probably haven't played in about a year, so I might be a little rusty.
Yeah, sure. There was time at a church retreat, we were playing because we bring it everywhere, and this one guy was like, hey, "Yo, like, can I hop in?" We're like, "Yeah." He looked like a leader. He was old. Older as in like in his 30s, beard. We're like, yeah, sure. Didn't look, you know, not like a jacked monster. So we're just like, oh yeah, look at this guy. So he didn't tell us he was like a ranked professional, and this guy just diced us up. But we like that motivated us to become so good, and we are actually good now. And we have our one buddy who like does play competitively. And when he serves, it's so friggin' weird. It's like, Jack, stop. Okay, he literally sets himself. I can't even... Listeners, I'm sorry. I don't know how to... I'm taking my headset off, too. I don't know how else to, like, demonstrate it. He literally, like... He gets his feet nice and wide apart. And he, like, fully just leans back and, like, sits. He's just, like... And then he just does all this stuff. Like, oh, which way am I gonna go? And he's literally posted up just like this, leaning straight back. Just like, woo! And it's like, dude, brother, what are you doing? You better believe I have the craziest whip on my serve. I got a little spin serve. I got the reach out. Hit my guitar. I got the behind the back. Alright? So my point is, all this to say, should Sarah Cameron be roaming the streets of southern Ontario and she sees
she's
me
not
on
safe.
The beach playing?
She's not safe.
She's perfectly safe.
She's
her
done
boyfriend
for.
Is not.
All hold right. on. That's sus.
I think it's more sus to say she's not safe if I'm around.
that's not what this. I mean. What I mean is that she's going to get swooped up. Like that's what I mean when she's
sounds
not,
very like
not safe.
Trafficky.
Not predatory.
To say that
it's
she's
not predatory.
Safe.
It's not predatory. I swear, bro.
The women are not safe around Jaren. In a good way that's though.
That's right, but in a good way, though.
In a good way. Know,
in, like, a non-toxic, non-predatory
manner.
Like
you're not
going to
get shipped across the world or something crazy.
Yeah.
Man, who the frick would do that? Oh, what? So I'm hosting Who's Frick this week. That was the transition.
Yeah. Evan, usually I'm the guy that thirsts after women in the podcast, but you really I'm usually the one that thirsts after women in the podcast.
I'm not thirsting after women. I'm not thirsting after Sarah Cameron. Sarah Cameron, when she sees me, will be thirsting after me.
Okay.
It's nothing. Not starting nothing.
Uh-huh.
So it's my week, and I've got them written down in this lovely
paper. It's Evan's week. It's Evan's week.
It is. So I've got three prompts on this here piece of paper.
Stop, bro. Stop shaking the...
Right in the mic. Okay. So I have three prompts. Play along at home. Jaren's going to try and guess who we are talking about. So, are you ready?
I guess.
Your first prompt. This artist has an alter ego.
Dierks Bentley.
No.
That was a good guess, though.
I thought you were going to go straight for someone else, but that was a good guess. All right.
An alter ego.
Time for a little bit of a biography.
Granger Smith.
Brother, like, I'm going to read out the clues.
Granger Smith.
Like, do you want to waste, like, do you want to lock in that guess?
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Read the second clue. Read the second clue. I was kind of just hoping that you'd be like, bruh.
Okay, so this artist has 11 studio albums, which began in 1998.
Okay, some...
Do you want one more biography clue?
Sure.
This artist is from Texas.
They have an alter... What did you say? They have an alter ego?
Yeah.
Or like a... Is this like really obvious and I'm just not... Is this Granger Smith? I feel like this... Does he have 11 albums? I feel like he...
Started
and has
in
he been around... Yeah, and has he... Did he start in 1998? Who has an alter ego?
I can think of a few.
What do you mean by alter ego? Like, just like a
like
different...
another name under which they have put out music.
Okay. Okay. Huh. Well, I don't... I did Darius Rucker semi-recently. And that's not really an alter ego. That's like a different...
Yeah.
...band. I feel like there's...
You're really missing a few big ones.
I guess, man. I don't even... The two people that, like... I know Granger Smith has, like, Earls Dibbles Jr., that one thing that he does. There's the Hot Country Nights for Dierks. I'm kind of... I tend to stay away from that stuff because I don't really like it. So, like, I probably shot myself in the foot with this one. And I've probably heard of this thing, but I probably just learned it and then forgot about it because I didn't want to remember. I don't even... I mean, you gave me all my clues already, right?
No, there's one more.
There's one more? I guess I should guess, but I don't even know what to guess. Because I don't think it's Granger Smith. I don't think he's that old, but it could be him. 11 albums, though? He's got a decent amount.
Do I hear clicking? Do I hear research going on? Is there some cheating going on the other end of the phone here?
There's no
cheating. I immediately saw some hands go down and a click noise, Jaren. What was that?
I think, this is my hypothesis. I think... That when I yelled,
Googled stuff.
No, I didn't Google anything. I think that Granger Smith is probably the answer. I think that when I said Granger Smith and you tried to get me to keep guessing was you trying to throw me off my rhythm. Cause he's from Texas. He has an alter ego, and I'm pretty sure he started In like the late 90s, early 2000s.
You can guess Granger if you want to guess Granger. I think you're missing a few big ones.
I'm guessing Granger Smith.
Yeah, it's Granger Smith.
That's okay. See, I knew it. I knew you were trying to gaslight me, man.
What
I
other alter egos do you know?
Literally the two that I named.
Like, I that thought you would have at least thought of, like, Garth Brooks and Chris Gaines.
But what is his alter ego?
Chris Gaines.
I didn't know that.
Oh. It was weird.
I just didn't know that. What's the point of him having an alter ego?
I forget what it was. Was the album a different genre or something? He, like,
I'm gonna look
looked
it up
like
now.
Some punk dude. It was really weird.
He
was on, like, SNL as Chris Gaines, too. So, it's like emo guy.
Now that you bring this up, I've kind of... Yeah, I learned about this and immediately forced myself to forget it.
Yeah.
Garth's alternative rock alter ego, Chris Gaines. The life of Chris Gaines.
What is the... Chris... Listen to the biography of Chris Gaines.
Okay, but besides the Hot Country Nights, Chris Gaines, and Earls Dibbles Jr.
I don't know. What is... I mean, I guess I can just Google alter egos in country music.
Oh, it was created for a movie.
Hank Williams as Luke the Drifter. T-Swizzle for Taylor Swift.
Okay, that's so... Not... Chris Gaines.
Charles Kelly. Charles Kelly from Lady Antebellum has an alter ego. Dick Fantastic.
That was my nickname in high school.
yours was lonely,
but... that was. I'm sorry. I laughed really hard at my own joke. Oh my goodness. So apparently Chris Gaines is a one-off fictional rock persona created as a movie character for Garth Brooks to explore musical styles far removed from his success as a country singer. Garth Brooks planned to feature his Gaines persona in The Lamb, a motion picture that never happened. Mm-hmm. In 1999, Brooks released an album as Chris Gaines. The album produced two Billboard singles that charted, including the top five pop hit Lost in You. And the thing is, I can't even listen to it because none of his music is accessible anywhere. Unless it's like
tarnished his legacy so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you look at Brooks and Dunn, that's so the spot they're in as like these father figures for like artists and fans alike, like everyone realistically, I'm sorry, I feel like Brooks and Dunn is the most like universally agreed upon like dads of country.
Yeah,
that so easily could have been Garth, but he just like stopped anyone in the digital age from listening to his music. And so it's like, why would you do that? Like, let the other people know why you were, like, top dog. Like, why you were the biggest deal.
Also, Brooks and Dunn's reboot album was actually really successful for them.
Yeah, dude. No, it pushed numbers, too. It wasn't just cool. It did numbers.
I liked it enough to buy it physically. Like, I really like it. I don't usually like albums that are a collection of songs from other albums. Like,
me neither.
I don't like...
But this one...
But that one is... It's done really well.
It's
most
done incredibly.
Most, if not all of them, are pretty good. Red Dirt Road with Cody, so good. Cody Johnson. Believe with Kane Brown is low-key one of the best ones on the album. Brand New Man with Luke Combs is amazing.
Even Neon Moon with Casey Musgraves. I get it's a
no,
kind
I
of
love,
vibe.
I freaking love that song.
Red Dirt Road with Cody Johnson. I love how he redid it. I love how he redid it.
That one, and then then there's the You're Gonna Miss Me.
Oh, with
You're
Ashley
Miss
McBride.
Me with Ashley McBride. Man, that's just a good album, man. They're really well done features. Just really well done.
Even Tyler Booth. Or even,
yeah,
even
I like,
Brett Young on Ain't Nothing About You.
The only
John Party on My Next Broken. I'm sorry, it's crazy. It's a crazy album.
Yeah, it's just really good. Even Lanco's album, Lanco's song is pretty decent.
Mama, don't get dressed up for nothing.
Yeah, that's...
Speaking of physical music, the other day I was bored. Was I bored or was I looking for something? No, I was looking for something. I was at Walmart. And one of my favorite things to do is just walk through like the Walmart CD section. Because it's it's such a weird collection.
Did you see that I was at Walmart like 2 weeks ago, and I found multiple copies of Jimmy Allen's newest album?
Oh, Down Home or
whatever it is, the bad album with the bad cover.
Mm-hmm.
I found multiple copies of it on vinyl, and I posted it on our That's it. I posted it on the Waves on the Shore Instagram story, and I said,
maybe
I'm going to buy it.
Maybe that's what motivated me. Maybe that's what motivated me. Anyways, I wound up there, and it's such a weird jumble. And there was a bunch. I was like, you know what? Kind of want to get that. Anyways, while most of them were between like $8 and $13, I wound up spending $18 because I decided, you know what? Run it. Let's get... Where the heck is it?
This is awkward.
There we go.
Imagine.
American Heartbreak, double CD from Walmart.
Oh, I haven't seen that at Walmart. Otherwise, I probably would have bought it.
Exactly. It's kind of cool. It's got like the OG Instagram post on the back. I haven't even opened it yet. Double CD, 34 songs.
You haven't opened it yet?
No. Mostly because like, well, not as to why I haven't opened it, but the reason I bought it. It's because, like, I feel like as for physical music, right, like, I'm not some conspiracy person of, like, the internet's going to go down. That's nice. The internet's going to go down or whatever. I almost bought Parachutes. Parachutes is there. I almost bought it. But when it comes to
physical music, haven't bought a lot of physical stuff recently because my CD player in my car doesn't work.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
When I go for physical music, I go for, like, things I deem as, like, iconic to me or culturally. Because then I'll be like, hey, kids, have this CD or have this vinyl and listen to it. And so when I saw American Heartbreak, I was like, yeah, that's one that my kids need to know. They need to understand American Heartbreak.
They need to understand.
They got to know.
I even have Muscadine Bloodline's best album.
You know what? Where?
Also, look at that cover. Look at that cover, though.
Yeah, I guess it's nice. You know what my kids will know?
That cover goes hard, bro.
If my kids do not know this inside out, they're not my kids.
What do I have here?
And I will shamelessly disown them.
I've got Snow Patrol. Oh, yeah. I have that on CD.
On the rock, I've got vinyl.
I've got some more Coldplay right here. I've got Brett Young's newest.
That's not Brett Young.
I've got Brett Eldridge's newest. I would not own a Brett Young CD. Top Gun Maverick soundtrack. Cause I'm running about it right now, right, keeping then. Things alive.
Go back to, this CD. Hold on, let me just grab all my CDs.
Now we're just pulling CDs this off the shelves.
Is Blonde by Frank Ocean that I burned onto a CD because I needed it on CD.
Poggers.
I needed a physical copy of it. So I don't know what this is. I've never seen this before.
I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm kind of surprised you knew how to burn a CD.
Our old computer could, and then it died, so now I can't, but at least I have it. So apparently I have Wow Hits 2013 Top Christian Songs. I didn't...
How do you...
I'm going to be honest, I've never seen this before. Like, I didn't know I owned this. Cool.
I've got some weird CDs. What's like on Maya...
10,000 Reasons. I feel like all worship songs have come out, like, since.
Oh, not 10,000.
10,000, like, Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Yeah, that song. But I was thinking, my brain went to 10,000 Hours with Justin Bieber. I was like, what?
Or maybe this one's Blonde. That's another blank CD, I don't know. We got Don FM. Yep. We got little East Coast Canadian band. Signed copy while we're out there. Andrew
Don't Walker. Even make me get my CDs out, bro.
This one is okay, so here's
Do you have a signed copy of Josh Turner's Long Black Train?
No, do you have a signed copy of a Josh Turner album from the last 5 years?
Actually, yes, no. I do. I do. It's just not an original studio album.
5 years. Sonic Ranch by Midland. This might be my favorite CD case. Circles by Mac Miller. Let me back up so it's not like crazy.
It's too white.
The back's kind of fresh.
It's too white, just like
it's just... Thanks. It's just cardboard. Like, it's literally just like cardstock material. And it's just printed on, and I love that.
Oh my goodness, this has dust all over it.
Last one before Jaren does... Oh, that's actually you go.
I've got Aaron Watson's Red Bandana here. I actually have maybe a surprising amount of Texas country albums on here for not living in Texas. It's just because I've bought them online. I've got Tessie Lou Williams somewhere.
That's so good. I'm jealous of that. Do you want to see my prized CD possession, Jaren?
I have that. I have Tessie Lou Williams on CD and vinyl. And a signed receipt.
Would you like to... I remember you showing me that.
Yep.
Would you like to see my prized CD possession? One of my greatest spontaneous purchases.
Okay. Is that Donda?
It's Donda. I have Donda on CD. Dude, wow. You gotta know how crazy, like, off the grid and stuff goes on my CD player that has no bass. Like, especially since a lot of the songs are heavily just 808 led. When there's no bass, it just sounds like a cappella. He's got, like,
wow.
Playboy Cardi just screaming at nothing. Oh, physical music.
I love physical music, man. I love physical everything. I love getting physical. Do you know what I'm saying?
I like getting physical with the boys. With men.
We should kiss.
See, I almost want to end the podcast there, but I want to show something else, so we can't end it on that. So we're awkwardly not going to end the podcast.
Now, yeah, normally we might just cut it there.
We're going to keep going. I feel bad for listeners. Because they've still... This part, listeners, you cannot...
Well, even if you're on Spotify, just turn on... Bro, just unlock your phone and watch the video version.
Yeah, you idiot. No. I mean, you're already an idiot for using Spotify. Do you want to see something I did the other day?
That was not based. Not based at all.
Do you want
to see... Evan
learned what based was. Something I did yesterday.
No.
Because I don't care. So,
Snow Patrol.
I did something cool, Jaren. This is where, like, the listeners have now tuned out, but the viewers are loving
it. I've tuned out, too. Look, Coldplay. Look, guys. Here, guys.
Look at these bad boys.
What is that? What are you doing? Cool. What is happening?
These are completely handmade by me. I love me so
much. I was about to say, those better not be, like, those better not be, like... Rocks, you know.
I love me some local stuff. It's not like, what are those called? Zodiac rocks? Whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The gemstone things.
Because these are handmade.
This I have is, one of those, actually.
This is a beach glass necklace made by me. I walked...
So you found like a broken Bud Light bottle and...
Because we get actually quite a bit of beach glass. It's really cool. There's like a whole shop that makes like art out of it. And what do you mean? Everyone loves this one local shop. Like beach glass. It's like glass.
Explain.
So it is old broken bottles, but like over time, they're not sharp because they get like broken down.
Because they get sanded down.
Yeah, and so they're just like nice pieces of glass. And then I went and bought these little necklace cords from Dollarama, and I bought little metal wire. And look at how intricately, I don't know if this is going to show up. Oh, it does. Look at how neatly I wrapped that around.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so cool. I got that. What else do we got?
Which one's for me?
There's a few good ones. None of them.
Dang.
Actually, if you come up, you can have one if you come up, because I'll probably make one. Because they're fun to make. This one's kind of hype, little black and brown action. You love to see it. Look at how neat that one came out.
That does look cool.
This one.
When did you make these?
Yesterday.
Where'd you make them?
In my living room. I just walked up and down the beach listening to the Avett Brothers. And this one is some ceramic from an old pot or something that broke. Kind of hype. Oh, that one's not showing very well. And then there's more that are just like same old, like brown, green, clear, whatever. But this might be my favorite. Pop tab.
It's just a pop tab.
It's just not a pop tab.
I do have a, I don't know if I kept it,
but I kind of love it.
It's featured in one of my Instagram posts from a few years ago, but I was at the beach and I found just like this Michelob Ultra like beer can bottle cap. And I just like, I think there was like a crab chilling near it or something.
Yeah.
And I just
grabbed it.
And I was like, I'm just gonna take this.
Don't tell me that doesn't go a little bit hard.
I don't know, man. I don't know, Chief.
I do know. Dude, I cannot wait.
You dress a little bit closer to a basic white boy than I do.
Yeah,
I'm like stuck. That's not an insult. And I guess I shouldn't have said basic. Your way of dressing
like a beachy white dude in the summer. In the winter and fall, I'm a basic white guy, khakis, jeans, and crew necks all the way, neutral colors. In the summer, though, that's when we get the striped button-ups. That's when we get the bathing suits out. That's when we get the beach glass.
I think I'm stuck a little bit in the 2000s. I think I'm stuck a little bit in the 2010s, though, which you hate.
Yeah, high key. But, dude.
I've been wearing most of my clothes are the same since like 6 or 7 years
ago. Well, that's just because you haven't grown.
That's not what I mean, Evan, but that's also true. I have not grown.
You look at these bad boys.
All right.
Like, I'm just going to rotate through these. Like,
have you seen that one video and it's that one reel where it's a shark coming up to a dude and he grabs the shark by the nose and rotates it and then it stops and says get rotated?
Yeah.
And I love that video.
Real quick, rotated. Before we end the podcast, I am curious because I have just like a simple thin silver necklace that I wear sometimes. Not much, but just every now and then if it fits,
little chain, right?
Yeah, if it fits, I just throw it on, nice subtle little detail.
Yeah, you wear it a decent amount often.
Not as much anymore. But anyways, one dude in the video I did with Grady, the guy who commented like, "Dude, lose the chain. You're going to regret that." What was his name again?
I don't remember.
Oh, so Too Hip For You. That's what it was.
Oh jeez.
Too Hip For You. What do you think of my beach glass necklaces? I think they're kind of hype. Like, I'm going to be paddleboarding in the summer, wearing one of them, being like, yup.
I wear the same necklace every day without fail. Doesn't matter. It's not part of the... It is always part of the fit.
It is the fit.
Every day I wear this necklace. Leather necklace with the... Hebrew letters. Hebrew letters means God healed. Here, let me...
Jaren's fluent in Hebrew. He reads the Hebrew translation of the Bible.
I can hold it up to the camera real quick. It's got this little silver medallion. You can kind of read it.
That's actually really crisp. I like that.
But I've worn that every day for like the past like 6 years.
Huh. The more you know.
Yep.
Well, good little epi. Good little installment.
Yeah, I guess. I reckon we just did an episode.
I reckon we just did. What if you just don't? What if you just... Or have you stopped recording?
No.
Because, like, what if we just keep this part in?
I mean, okay.
We'll just chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Can we get copyrighted?
For what?
If I play music while we wait.
You gonna play Gandalf? What is it?
You know whatever it's called. Gandalf pack. We didn't get copyrighted for it last time.
Smoking that Gandalf pack. I can't even hear it.
I know, okay, but the listeners can.
All right, take us out of. Oh, okay.
We were playing sardines. We had a little youth retreat thing. We went away to a campsite.
I love sardines, man.
And we were playing after the juniors went to bed, the seniors were playing sardines, and it was really freaky because it's like a 100-year-old church camp building in the basement. It's like freaky and old and like
those are the best spots, bro.
They are, but dude, you also gotta know it was thundering so bad, like the walls were like shaking, and there'd be lightning that just lit up the basement. It was terrifying. But anyways, to make me not scared, when me and my buddy Jacob, we were just like hugging each other the whole time, just walking, like holding on to each other, listening to Gandalf back on repeat. We had it on loop, so you could know where. You could tell when me and Jacob had found the people because suddenly Gandalf Pack is no longer wandering around the basement.
You're like, okay, let's turn it off. Let's turn it off.
That's exactly what it was. We'd just be clung to each other. It's just like, nee, 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 nee. And then we find the spot. We're like, oh, shoot, shut it off. So
sardines is so much fun. I haven't played sardines in a few years, probably. It's a heater. Honestly. Oh, man. I just farted, and that does not smell good.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Waves on the Shore. If you feel so inclined, be sure to leave a comment below. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, you can find both of us on Instagram at The Waves on the Shore and our personal accounts, myself, Evan, at The Overshore, and Jaren at Jepwots. Jepwots. I'm telling you, man. Bro's so whack. Anyways, I'll get out of your ear now. You do yourself a favor and have a fantastic rest of your day.